He's still hoping that they can. Oh, boy, Tatum goes down hard, bounces right back up. Jaylen Brown gets into Tatum Martin's face. He felt there was something wrong there. Tatum got up and walked away. He didn't. But Brown stuck up for his teammate. But,
I mean, that doesn't look dirty. He looked like Caleb Martin was going in to jump for the offensive rebound, and it just was weird timing.
Yeah, I would agree.
I'm not trying to start nothing here, but I'm just. Eric Spoelstra called a timeout with a minute 30, down by 16. 30 seconds later, that play happens. 30 seconds later, why is he calling a timeout at 1:30?
Down 16.
And then why is that play happening? That play right there, 30 seconds later. I don't know, man. It looked, that looks shady to me.
What you call that?
Code Red.
Code Red. The hit was put on from Eric Spoelstra, or maybe above. Maybe old man Riles had a hand in the whole thing.
You didn't think it was very suspicious that Caleb Martin walked out there with a fish that was wrapped in newspaper?
I'll tell you what.
Dead giveaway.
Shouldn't Arkham be more upset about this? He's like King, 80s Celtics, Larry Bird, Celtics versus Showtime. You should hate Pat Riley.
Kurt Rambis said it coming.
Yeah, why aren't you leaning more in on like Pat Riley put on the Code Red?
I think he did do that. I 100% agree with Scalabrine. I think all that
you
actually
think Pat
happened.
Riley did, though. I haven't heard you say that. You think Riley did?
I mean, I don't know if he called down and said, hey, go out there and hit somebody, but I think that's the Heat culture. He's the guy in charge of Heat culture, and Spoelstra carries out, you know, the things that they're supposed to do. I don't think they had a conversation about it that right then, but I think it was implied. I think it was certainly implied, and I think it was implied from Spoelstra to the team, hey, go out there and make a statement. Go out there and show them that you're not going to just get stomped on here and give them something to think about for the next game. Like you said, I think 100% that was planned.
So this is what I think.
I don't think it was a direct call from Pat Riley, but, I mean, could have been.
I don't think they tried to hurt him, meaning Tatum. And, I wonder how, like, intentional it was to low-bridge Tatum. Like, do you think he undercut him on purpose? I think he collided into him on purpose. I'm not sure he low-bridged him on purpose.
I think he jumped into him on purpose.
This is what I think.
And it just happened to be awkward timing.
So, like,
but still, it was a hard foul.
No, it was definitely a hard foul, and I think it was intentional in that Spoelstra said, and I agree with what you just said, Arkan, it's Heat culture being carried out. Everybody knows what's expected in that organization. And so Riley and that organization play a certain way. They carry themselves a certain way. Spoelstra's been there forever. He knows what Riley wants. And he looks across and he sees a bunch of Celtics out there, Celtics starters out there, with a minute to go. And by the way, I do not blame Missoula for this. I know others out there do. You can weigh in if you do. Final Hour, Jones and Arkan, no Mego today. 617-779-7937. I don't blame Missoula for having starters out there. They were up 30-something. They peed away a giant lead. It was 14 with a timeout with like 90 seconds left, and it had just been 12 previous to that. Like, a 12-point game in an NBA playoff game, I don't trust my scrubs. I'm sorry, I don't. With under 2 minutes to go, I don't trust my scrubs.
You get it down to single digits, like I don't trust them.
I've seen the Celtics pee away giant leads with their starters out there before.
They've blown 30-point leads this
against
year.
Other teams' backups. So, like, I don't want to lose a game because I got too cute and I'm like, oh, I got to take my starters out. 12, 14 points, it's a playoff game. You can have your starters out there. I don't blame Missoula, but I also wouldn't put it past Spoelstra looking at it and going, huh, these guys are out there. All right, let's send them a message for game two. Go send them a message. I think that's all Martin was doing. I think he was looking for contact with Tatum. I think they were looking to be physical. I don't think he low-bridged him on purpose, undercut him on purpose, tried to injure him. I don't believe any of those things. Scal took it a bit farther on the post-game broadcast on NBC Sports Boston afterwards. What'd he say, Ryan?
You go at the best player? I didn't like that.
So is this them trying to send a message, or is that just a dirty play?
I mean, to me, it's a dirty play. Yeah. I think anybody should look at that. Like, I think Martin should get suspended for that. That's a dirty play. You can't do that. Like, just think about that. The NBA is about the star players. The idea of winning a championship is your star players have to stay healthy. And the guy goes up and you just ram into him? That ain't basketball.
Okay. I mean, it's not basketball. I also don't think anything was overly dirty there. So, look, I don't need a suspension. I don't think Caleb Martin is getting suspended. I would be shocked if he were. I think Scal overreacted a little bit. Whatever. I think he was onto something about the Code Red, though. I think Scal was onto something about that for sure.
You're a hoop head.
And we'll talk to him later on. Thank you. It's a very meaningful gold star that I get there from Scal. But I think he was on to something with the code red. I think he was off on the suspension. But at the end of the day, Miami was trying to send a message to the Celtics. Bottom line, Arcan, because it's their only chance.
Yeah.
They don't have the talent. Even with Jimmy Butler, they'd be outgunned. I'd give them half a chance with Jimmy Butler. They could extend the series. They could make it tough. Without Jimmy Butler, they don't even have Terry Rozier right now. Like, they do not have the manpower to hang with the Celtics. They might not at full strength. The only way they're going to make it a series is get in the Celtics' head, rattle some cages. And so they're trying to do that going into game two. Simple as that.
Yeah, that's what I think is happening here. And the Heat are known for doing that sort of thing. There was that incident with Duncan Robinson and Jaylen Brown this year. Remember that? Where they got their arms tangled up and Brown, like, chucked them into the bench.
That was.
And he, like, jumped back up and he's like, yeah, oh, he's not going to do that again.
That was the last game that they played. So it was probably like March.
Oh, wow. Okay. I was going to say that was early in the year, but that feels like a long time ago to me.
I think it was after, it was after the game that Butler didn't play in, which was right. It was either Super Bowl
Robinson
Sunday or the day right before.
Flopped and acted. He went down for the amount of time that Tatum should have been down for.
Tatum, to his credit, got right back up.
He bounced up.
Jaylen getting in.
Didn't say anything about it.
No. He said, and I liked his answer after the game. We'll play it for you later on. But Jaylen getting in Martin's face is a little overrated to me. Like, I don't really think he got in his face. He kind of took his time. He said a few words. He smacked his hand away.
So the energy's about to shift.
Yeah, but it's not like he, like, got in his face and, like, sent a message. He just said a few words and smacked his hand aside, 10 seconds after Tatum walked away. And so, to me, I think that was a little overblown. But that, if they're going to make it a series, that's how they do it, Arcan. They rattle the Celtics' cages because the Celtics are tough. And they're not battle-tested when it comes to going on a long run and winning. That's what they're trying to do. Will it work? We can debate it. But I definitely think that's what they were trying to do.
Yeah. And also, maybe part of the lesson there was, hey, stay out of the paint. You bring it into the paint, this is going to happen to you. We're going to make you pay for it. Stay out there and shoot your threes. You're a three-point shooting team. Shoot 50 threes. And if you can beat us every single one of these games shooting that many threes, then good on you. But that's the way we can beat you, if you have a bad shooting night and you're afraid to go in the paint. And that may be part of what they were doing there, too. Wouldn't shock me. Again, the Celtics aren't a very tough team. They're not some team that goes in there and mixes it up like that. Horford does a little bit. Porzingis does a little bit. Brown and Tatum don't really. And I guess, Drew Holiday's a good rebounding guard, but, like, he's not mixing it up and underneath like that. It's just that's not what they do. Holiday's probably the toughest guy in the starting five. So, like, you know what I mean? He's the smallest one. So I sort of look at it like that. Like, they're maybe sending a message, but also saying, hey, from a tactical standpoint here strategically, if we get this team in their head a little bit and they start missing their threes and they're afraid to go in the paint, we could win one of these games. We could steal a game in Boston.
Yeah, and I'll build off of that, Arcan, because I do think the Celtics they're a jump shooting team. Even Porzingis, you just mentioned Porzingis. 8 of his 13 shots were threes. The Celtics are going to launch threes. And I think they're more talented than a year ago. But I think Miami played it right in game one. They're outgunned. They have no talent. But I think they played it right in game one. They said, we're going to let the Celtics shoot 53s. We're going to sit in a zone. We're going to pack it in. We're going to junk it up. And if they hit their threes, they hit their threes. We're not beating them anyway. But the way you're going to beat the Celtics, number one, you get in their heads a little bit. Maybe the Celtics have something to think about going into game two. You mentioned it. Not that they go into the paint a ton, but when they do, stay out of here because it's going to get physical.
Yeah.
But on top of that, if the Celtics have a game where they're hitting 12 out of their 53s, and they have those. They've had those every single playoff run the last few years. They never win those games. They go 12 for 45. They go 11 for 50. They don't win those games. They can't beat you multiple ways. Their threes have to be falling. That's how they win. Sam Hauser's not going to hit 4 or 5 threes. What'd he end up with? I know he had 4 in one stretch. What'd he end with? He's not going to hit 4 or 5 threes. I think everybody on the team
4 for 6.
Didn't everybody hit multiple threes except Tatum yesterday?
Yes, Tatum was 1 for 8. Everybody else had at least 2.
That's not going to happen every game. And so when that dries up and when that goes away, can the Celtics win? Maybe against Miami they can, but we're going to find out. I think Miami played them the right way. And I think trying to rattle them going into game two was smart. They might not have the talent to make a difference, but I think that's the right approach.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that on a night where Tatum actually played a great game, too, on a night where his shot wasn't really falling all that much. Like, he was a good example of a night where, all right, Tatum's not really playing his best game. The points aren't coming easily to him. Are they going to be able to still win this game? It's the Heat without Butler, so they should be able to. But I thought he really did a nice job of being a playmaker and a distributor, and that triple-double reflected it. So, I mean, if Tatum's ready to do that on a nightly basis when his shot isn't falling the way it normally does, when he's, sort of getting cold to start the game or not able to hit his threes or whatever it is, then this team's going to be okay. But, a lot of it really comes down to him and how much he's willing to sort of distribute and maybe step aside and let somebody else score the points when his shot's not falling.
Real quick, good weekend, bad weekend for the NBA. And I asked that because I thought the play-in round was great. Like, I thought the play, especially the night where there were two in the East and the West, I thought that was great. But I didn't feel like it was a very competitive, well-played weekend for the NBA. It's one game in every single series. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think it was a great weekend.
Yeah, the Clippers, it was a finished a 12-point game, but they blew out Dallas. That game wasn't close.
Pelicans and the Thunder were close last
Pelicans
night.
Pelicans and the Thunder was the only really good one,
Knicks,
I thought.
Knicks-Sixers I thought was a decent game.
Yeah.
That got interesting when Joel Embiid got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bucks crushed Indiana.
Destroyed
that game.
Them.
That game wasn't really that close. I'd say, all in all, it was a bad weekend.
Bad weekend.
Yeah.
Now, look, you want the good teams to advance. Hopefully you get better matchups in round two and certainly the conference finals, never mind the NBA finals. That's what the NBA wants anyway, but largely not a very competitive weekend.
Do you think they want, just real quick off of that, do you think they want the good teams advancing, or do you think they want their superstars showing up more? Because, like, Anthony Edwards had a great game, but that game sucked to watch.
Yeah, it's true.
Jalen Brunson did not have a good game, but at least that game was at least interesting to watch.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. Like the Lakers and Denver is a great example of that. And Jokic has star power, but who has more, LeBron or Jokic?
LeBron.
Mm-hmm. And so what do I think they want? I think they'd rather Denver in that scenario. Although LeBron advancing is never a bad thing for the league in that specific matchup. I think the Lakers could be matched up against just about anybody else. They'd take LeBron. I think the defending champs, you'd like them advancing.
That personally. Was fun watching Orlando score 80 points. I enjoyed that game a lot.
A bunch of teams didn't break 100 points.
Are they back tonight?
Weekend.
Orlando's probably
they're
tonight,
back.
Right? Yeah. No, yeah, get them out of the way.
Back.
Get them out of the way on a Monday.
Break 85. Like, that was a tough one.
Get them out of the way on a Monday.
Flaming
Mo
sure. wasn't making a shot.
We'll get to your thoughts coming up. 617-779-7937. What's coming up in Arcansplaining, Arcan? No Mego today.
In Arcansplaining today, we've heard that there's been many, many retirements of some great, all-time great, and certainly around here, local legends of the broadcast world. In New York, John Sterling announced his retirement very abruptly.
Ugh. You can bet the ranchy on Franchi.
Sure can, brother. And the Knicks.
Not some of his best work.
The Knicks. How about the Yankees gave him a very weird gift? There was also some other Yankees news. It's going to be a very Yankee-centric version of Arcansplaining today.
Okay. Arcansplaining. Mego, homesick, which I know Arcand is privately very excited about. This is future ammunition for Arcand.
Sure is.
Maybe tune in tomorrow at 2 to hear Arcand yelling at Mego. But that's for a future day. Let's get to Arcansplaining right after trending.
Adam Jones.
Oh, I'm sorry. You like Crazy Town?
I think Crazy Town for sure.
Megan Ottolini.
I love fire.
Christian Arcand.
I love shrooms.
This is Jones and Mego with Arcand.
Let me upgrade you.
On WEEI.
What happens first? Tom Brady broadcasts a game or he plays in a game?
I think there are no accidents when it comes to Tom Brady, Dan. And for him to come out and say, after declaring last year, he's done and he's never coming back, he just kind of casually drops the turd in the punch bowl of, pardon me, of, you know, hey, what if somebody gets injured during the season? Oh, I wouldn't be opposed to that. Wait, what? I wouldn't be opposed to coming back and playing? Are you kidding me? That was huge. And again, I don't think it was something that just flew out of his mouth. I think he's ready to come back. And I think that was his trial balloon to see if anyone will call him. Just a couple of weeks before the draft, plenty of teams looking for quarterbacks. What if Sean Payton doesn't get the guy he wants? It was Payton and Brady 2 years ago that were tied together to go to Miami. The Dolphins lost a first-round pick over it because they were tampering with both guys. So I think Brady wants to come back, but he wants to be pursued. And he's put it out there that he wants to be pursued. So I think there's a chance that he never gets in the booth at all, at least not this year. And wouldn't it be awkward? He's sitting there with Kevin Burkhardt, Dan, and quarterback gets injured during a game. How can Burkhardt not say, hey, Tom, would you play for this team? They may be calling you tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's Florio. I definitely think there's a chance Brady comes back. Mego laughed at me about it last week. I'm like, oh, he posted a video running, said he'd come back like he's Michael Jordan. Did you laugh it off, Arcan? You laughed it off too, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Didn't you scoff?
No.
You scoffed.
I did not scoff. There was no scoff. No scoff. I didn't. I've never completely dismissed the idea of a Brady comeback. I've never done that.
I think there's a chance he comes back, and it's so weird that he didn't go in the booth this past year. And I don't care as much about the Kevin Burkhardt thing. Like, how does he not turn to Brady? He could turn to Brady and ask all he wants. Brady's going to be elbows deep in his phone, texting his agent.
I plead the fifth.
But you hear what he said there and against Jones and Arcan. No Mego today. We got Arcansplaining coming up less than 10 minutes from now at 5:30. Mark it down. You hear what he said there. Sean Payton and Brady were a package deal a couple of years ago.
Right.
Huh. Sean Payton just got a quarterback today, Arcan.
Sure did.
So,
not just any quarterback. but the great Zach Wilson.
They
now.
Traded for Zach Wilson today. I don't know if Florio said this before or after that trade went down. I have no idea. But I had not thought of that before. And it's so obvious. Shame on me for not thinking of it. Brady and Peyton were a package deal to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins lost a first-round pick over it.
Right.
Brady wanted to play. Now, look, I think Brady wanted to play in Miami where he was building a house. He had a relationship with, was it the minority owner? It's not Stephen Ross. There's another.
Right, yeah. Who is the guy?
There's somebody else high up in the organization. It's Michigan Ties. I forget the name. So there were other connections. It wasn't just Sean Payton. But he had a connection to Sean Payton. Would he go play in Denver for Sean Payton? Would he do what Peyton Manning did and go to the Broncos? That organization is different ownership, but it's the same organization that brought in Peyton Manning chasing their next John Elway. Is that possible? I never even for a second considered that. I had thought about Minnesota because Curran name-checked Minnesota. They were interested in Brady last year. So I had thought about some other destinations. I had not thought about Denver. And maybe, just maybe Arcan, they trade for Zach Wilson. He can definitely back up an all-time great.
Mm-hmm.
He did it last year in Aaron Rodgers. And so if they come out of the draft without a quarterback, keep an eye on Brady in Denver. I think that's interesting. I had not thought about that.
Also, Stidham's there, and he was Brady's backup for a year. So yeah, I mean,
plenty of guys who can back up Brady.
A couple of guys there. And really, who gives a crap who the backup to Tom Brady is? If Tom Brady's going to Denver, then that's the headline there. And I think that either one of those guys could very easily just be moved on from. And that's something to keep in mind. As far as what I think, I mean, you're talking about a 46-year-old playing in altitude. That just seems like it's going to be a lot tougher than going down and playing in Miami. I'd say that. You know, as great as Tom Brady is.
How about Miami, September heat in Miami?
Yeah, I mean, it's hot, but, you know, you're down there, and it's nice all year round. He already played a season in Florida, like, and he won a Super Bowl there. So, I don't know. I mean, at 46 years old to be playing at that altitude, I just think might be a tougher thing to do. But they are a team that needs a quarterback. They are a team that you haven't heard really anything about when it comes to trades, right? We keep hearing about the Raiders want to make a trade. We hear the Giants want to make a trade. We hear the Vikings have these two picks. They want to make a trade. I'm not hearing anything about them.
Yeah, I mean, the more you talk it out, is he coming back to play with Cortland Sutton?
Probably not. But just think of who'd want to go join that team then.
Well, fair. But, like, would he come back to play with Justin Jefferson in Minnesota? That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And Jordan Addison and Hawkinson when he's healthy. Fine. Yeah. That all makes sense.
Or Davante Adams in Vegas.
Right. Another good one.
Yeah.
He's coming back to play with Cortland Sutton and hand off to who's the back from North Carolina? I can't even think of his name.
That is a tough question.
Yeah. I don't know.
You're talking, of course, about Javonte Williams?
Yes. Javonte Williams. Yeah. Thank you. He's coming back for that.
Probably not.
I mean, maybe, but I don't know. But he does have a connection to Peyton.
The Broncos signed I actually wanted the Patriots to take a look at Josh Reynolds, and I think he went to Denver, so there's him too. You got Cortland Sutton.
Josh Reynolds. That'll bring him out of retirement.
Probably.
That'll do it. Josh Reynolds.
Let's go!
Did we mention Josh Reynolds?
Updating what Diana Russini said, or reminding you if you haven't tuned in, we've talked about it probably once an hour. Over the course of the first 4 hours of the show, Diana Russini, ESPN. Or I'm sorry, is she at Fox now? Where is she now?
The Athletic.
I'm sorry, The Athletic.
Aha.
I said Fox because she goes on with my guy Cowherd from time to time. The Athletic is now where Diana Russini is. The New England Patriots are listening and taking calls from teams looking to move into the number three pick. While GM Elliott Wolf is running point, I'm told Patriots president Jonathan Kraft is heavily involved in the decision-making. I'm surprised by none of that. I know a lot of those on the Patriots beat have to feign surprise. I think a lot of listeners out there might be surprised, although you shouldn't. If you read Wickersham right after Bill left New England, Jonathan Kraft and Robin Glazer are going to have a growing role in football ops. They're going to run football ops. I'm not surprised at all that Jonathan or Robert are making the pick at three. I expect it. And so the way I would translate functionally that tweet, they're not trading the third pick. If ownership, and I've assumed all along, ownership is going to be making the pick at three, they're not trading it.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they trade it? If Elliott Wolf, if it were truly up to him, he might trade it. He might say, we'll trade down. We like J.J. McCarthy. We like Michael Penix. We'll accumulate future assets. We'll take our time. We'll build this thing right. That's not how ownership thinks. They're not going anywhere. Ownership isn't going anywhere. They're here. They want immediacy. And if it doesn't work out with Elliott Wolf and Jerod Mayo, well, then there's another Elliott Wolf and Jerod Mayo out there. They can hire the next Jerod Mayo and the next Elliott Wolf. Elliott Wolf and Jerod Mayo probably want some time. They want to slow play it. They want to build it, quote unquote, right.
Or they don't want to have their entire future be based on this 1 year.
Yeah,
I think that's really it.
No, they're afraid. Elliott Wolf and Jerod Mayo are afraid. And I get it on some level.
It's Wolf has a right to be. Mayo, not so much.
It's their job security, and it's their future. So I get the hesitancy if you don't fully believe. But ownership's making the pick. They're not trading the pick. And so everything you read about them trading the pick, trading back, ooh, maybe they'll trade back and then trade back up to come get J.J. McCarthy. Ooh, they like Michael Penix. Maybe they'll trade into the 20s. I don't buy any of it. Ownership's making the pick. They're not trading the pick. That's what I think.
I am coming around on that, too. I mean, I think we've sort of submitted to the idea that that's where they're going and that they haven't gotten some big offer that's going to wow them. We have a bit of an update here on the Caleb Martin foul.
Oh, we do.
According to Gary Washburn.
Was Scal right? Did he get suspended?
According to a leak source, the NBA is not expected to upgrade the Caleb Martin foul to a flagrant, nor is there to be a suspension.
Of course not. I mean, of course not.
Upgrading the call, I could have seen that happening.
Scal just put his tractor in a ditch.
Whatever.
upgrading to a flagrant, like I could see that happening, but they're not even doing that.
Well, so. I don't even think it was all that dirty. I think he was trying to make contact with Tatum. I don't think he tried to low bridge him. And so he definitely shouldn't get suspended. I do think it was intentional, though. I think the Heat were trying to send a message to the Celtics. That I buy. Did you have something else there on Kraft and ownership making the pick, or can we move on to Arcan?
No, let's go ahead and Arcan-splain.
Arcan-splain is what I meant to say. Let's do that now.
This is all you get.
All right, no Mego today, so instead of Meg-splaining, we're going to have a little Arcan-splaining. And we're talking about this all week, really, because Mike Gorman called his last regular season game for the Celtics. Did you notice how right up in the face of him they got during the during that game one there with Miami? They had the camera like right in his face.
I did notice that
over and over again, and he is very gracious. But eventually, if I'm sitting there, I'm like, get the bleep out of my face.
I'll be honest. I was watching at a child's birthday party, and so I was watching, but not I couldn't hear it. But I did notice the very tight camera. I did notice that.
Yeah. They were talking about him on that tight camera.
It was very, very awkward. Yeah. But he's a pro. Obviously, he was great. Jack Edwards, we know, is retiring. Vern Lundquist announced that he's retiring. Yep. And John Sterling with the New York Yankees, very abruptly, not waiting to the end of the season, a couple weeks in, decided he's hanging it up as well. And the Yankees, who I think were caught a little off guard by this news, because they had a big celebration for him. And the celebration, I was told, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I'm told it was pretty good. They had people come out and speak. And then they gave him a gift. Now, we're no strangers to the idea of a guy retiring and getting a bunch of gifts. When even in baseball, I remember David Ortiz and his final tour and all the gifts that he got, the belt buckles.
What do you give to the man who has everything? In a word, more.
Who gave him the canoe? Did someone give him a canoe?
Yeah, I don't.
Am I crazy? Maybe it wasn't a canoe. It was some kind of boat.
No. That sounds right. I mean, Mariano Rivera got the broken bat rocking chair, right? Wasn't that Mo Rivera from
this bat? Bat, a David Ortiz model, is like your heart. It is pure gold.
So people thought about it, and they had time to think about what they wanted to give David Ortiz because they knew he was going to retire. They had time to sort of put something together. I feel like the Yankees didn't have that same sort of time to do something for John Sterling, because when it came time to give him a prize, do we have the audio here, Ryan? Let's take a listen to what the New York Yankees, the most prestigious
what are they worth
franchise in all of baseball, one of the most prestigious franchises in American sports. Let's see what they gave to their play-by-play announcer.
They're worth $7.1 billion.
Oh, man. This gift is going to be amazing.
The latest money, or the latest update I'm seeing from Forbes, $7 billion they're worth.
So surely they gave John Sterling something that is just going to make everybody very jealous. Let's hear what the Yankees got for John Sterling.
And lastly, John, so you can enjoy your beloved New York Yankees from home, LG, the official TV of the Yankees, is here to present you with the flagship 83-inch LG OLED 4G TV. And here to bring you the TV is the entire 2024 New York Yankees team.
Wow. Couldn't even find someone to bring it. They're like, just grab the thing and bring it out there. And by the way, it wasn't gift wrapped or anything.
No,
it was
just
in the box that it comes in at Best Buy. Like, it was just in
I was going to say, so they had the intern, or maybe a couple of interns, run to a Best Buy in the Bronx. And they had him go grab an 83-inch television, which, by the way, Sterling hasn't exactly been able to see, right? I mean, that's what you can tell on some of these broadcasts. So it's like, it's a little insulting.
I don't know why you think that.
They gave the man a giant projector screen of a television. It's product placement that's just, you know, gross on top of it. They're like, oh, let's make sure we make a buck off this thing as well, because you can't possibly just give the guy a gift.
And you can enjoy a nice Starry Lemon Lime, the official soft drink of the New York Yankees.
You can't just give the man a gift because he worked for the Yankees for 35 years or whatever, 36 years, 39 years, whatever it was. You can't just give the guy a gift. You got to turn it into product placement and make a profit on top of it as well. Oh, John, by the way, you're blind. Here's an 83-inch television that you can watch. It was picked up by two interns in the Bronx from some Best Buy, and the team has to walk it out to him. And it wasn't even wrapped. Like, what an insult.
Nothing.
What a slap in the face for that guy.
Someone said that the Yankees giving John Sterling a TV for a retirement gift is like when your boss gives you a pizza party at the end of the month instead of a bonus. I think that's a pretty good way of putting it.
Twitch chat, our guy Roba, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. It's a bad episode of The Price is Right. That's what it was. It's like a bad showcase showdown.
Oh, man. I mean, listen, maybe they wanted to do something more special for him, and maybe they will at some point down the road. But this really screams of like, oh, God, we got to get him something. Oh,
hey, Jesus. Stantonian home run.
Oh, man.
You know what they should do?
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Whoops. How about binoculars? Now, I mean, we can't give him binoculars. How about a TV? He's probably got a TV. All right, let's give him a really big TV.
No, an 83-inch
TV. Yeah, like
TV.
The biggest TV they have.
Yeah, don't we have a TV sponsor? Let's make some money off this.
Yeah,
he's at first base.
Bring my TV guy up here, the LG guy.
You know what they should start doing for these broadcasters that are retiring? And unfortunately, Mike Gorman, Jack Edwards, you guys missed the boat on this, as did Sterling. They should do like an announcer's registry.
That's a good idea.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. Like,
what do you get for John Sterling? I have no idea. Registry.
Yeah.
He should give us a list of all the things you want.
Yeah. You and see, you know, somebody will pony up and do it. Could be Hal Steinbrenner. Could be Hank Steinbrenner.
Mm-hmm.
Jeter. You know, all these great Yankees, current Yankees, if they want to, they get on the registry. They're like, oh, my God, what does Sterling want?
John Henry's like, suckers.
You're all getting kale from the garden.
Yeah. Like, Castig, if you're listening, you know, whenever you decide to hang him up. Announcer's registry. That way, you don't just get some 83-inch television from John Henry or whatever, you know.
Here's tomorrow's newspaper.
He got off me. We ain't tripping about that.
You know, so don't miss out like Gorman. You know, don't miss out like Jack Edwards, who unfortunately isn't really going out on his own terms. Although I wonder if Sterling is either, quite frankly. But
I'm wondering about that, too. But I also think, like, for the Yankees, he is someone people tune in for, you know, like people tune in and listen to him and they still like him. He still has like a positive Q rating, I think, with Yankee fans.
Yeah.
So I don't think that they want to move on from it. I don't know. Maybe it's like an Edwards situation where he's just, you know, suddenly feels like I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. Or he can't see or whatever, which is fine. That happens.
And he's 85 years
happened
old.
Happened to Gil. Like, you can't see anymore. It happens. I get it. And so you had to tap out earlier than maybe you wanted to, but announcer's registry just came to me. It's not a bad idea. You do it for weddings. Yeah, you do it for what are the baby ones called? The baby
showers.
Thank you. A baby shower. Yes. You got a registry for a baby shower. Announcer registry on the way out. Mm-hmm. That way you don't wind up giving them some lame ass TV.
Yeah, I mean that's a great idea. Now John Sterling, very famously, does not have much of a social life, and he's talked about this. He just goes to the game, he does the game, and then he goes home and he goes to bed, and he gets up, and that's it. And then in the off season, he doesn't go out ever.
Sex with Susan.
Gross. But
ironically scheduled.
Wow.
Just sends a Susan you up. You know, a couple of those.
Goodness gracious. 7th inning stretch is not over season.
You think like just
all right,
once?
It's more like a 2nd inning.
Come on, one time before I retire. That's what happens, you know, in the last
Bernie's case. Not the only one going boom.
We'll always have that night in Kansas City, Susan.
Yeah. Last nights of like a movie shoot. What do you think all those actors and actresses are doing? They're having sex with each other. That's what they do. That's what you do at the end of
things. Breaks up
like
marriages left and right. It's true.
100%.
No, you're 1,000% right about that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Anyway, so hopefully John Sterling enjoys his new TV. There was also a little
Susan,
piece.
You know we can watch on this 83-inch TV. John Carlos Stanton highlights.
Debbie does Dallas Braden? That's a weird one.
Nice. Do we have time for this? There was also something
we got time
today
for
that happened with the Yankees. Manager Brett Boone was ejected from the game.
Aaron
Boone. What did I say?
You said Brett.
Oh, Brett Boone. No, not Brett Boone. Aaron Boone. How about Aaron Boone? Was ejected from their day game today, and apparently, I haven't heard this yet, but apparently it was very funny.
It was five pitches into the game, and you can hear Hunter Wendell's stat, because it was Oakland, it was the Yankees. Nobody was at this game. You hear everything crystal clear.
Is the first base umpire you saw making that call.
You're not yelling at me. I did what I was supposed to do and check. I'm looking for him to get hit by the pitch. You got anything else to say? You're gone.
Oh, okay, Hunter.
So just for some clarity here, they're obviously
perfectly.
Hunter Wendelstedt is annoyed because Booney said something about, you know, who got hit or not. And obviously he's like, look, I checked. It was a foul. Didn't do anything. I'm not listening to you. Like, we're five pitches into the game, Aaron. Don't call him Brett.
Is the first base umpire you saw making that call.
You're not yelling at me. I did what I was supposed to do and check. I'm looking for him to get hit by the pitch. You got anything else to say? You're gone. Okay?
Oh, okay, Hunter. Wow. We're not going to need a John Boy breakdown of that one. We got a very clear there you go. And now Aaron's saying, I didn't say anything. Aaron's saying, hold on a second. I didn't say a word.
I did not say any words. It was a fucking
Hunter's fired up.
I did not say anything, Hunter. I did not say a fucking
thing. It sounds like they're just dragging him
away.
Wow.
Okay, yeah, it does.
So
that was pretty good. I wasn't expecting it to sound so good. I mean, that sounds amazing.
Oh, crystal clear. But Boone didn't say anything, right?
I didn't hear anything. You could hear every word that everyone was saying.
No, there's a side angle. John Boy, I think, did have video of this, right? Or was it somebody else?
This is how it was broadcast, because I may or may not have had a couple bucks on this game early. Spoiler alert.
A's won 2-0, by the way.
Yes, I did not get the over. But as you see, Hunter Wendell said, go on, you're out of here. Aaron Boone's not even looking at him, doesn't say a word. So he whips around and goes, are you kidding me? I didn't say anything. It was the guy in the crowd. And you can't hear. I can hear because I have headphones on. You hear Hunter Wendell said, go, I don't care.
Yeah.
Which is a translation.
I don't care who said it. You're out of here.
Yeah. He goes, what do you mean you don't care? That's BS. That's BS. That's BS.
Okay. Obviously, he thought he heard Boone say it. It was a fan. And there's side view from like behind third base looking above the Yankees dugout where you can see that the fan chirps and Boone doesn't say anything. Like,
you got anything else to say? You're gone.
And so the ump didn't know. So what are you gonna do?
Yeah,
but it was a good ejection.
It was some like Yankee fan, like bleep you ump.
I'll bleep me. I'll show you. You're out of here.
Everybody's out of here.
No one
at the game.
So you know, I mean, look, bad day for the umpire. What are you gonna do? Boone got thrown out. It's not like it's the first time the guy's been thrown out of a game.
Was the 35th time he's been thrown out of a game.
So they lost to the A's, which I heard, you know, was just like a fireable offense. Arcan.
Yeah,
Red Sox didn't lose to them.
No, they didn't.
Nope. They did not.
It's their ninth win of the year, Oakland's.
Yeah, I mean, they're ahead of the Astros.
Yeah.
You don't want to give them any credit for beating the A's earlier this year, the Red Sox.
Wait, now I have to give them credit for beating the A's?
Yes. Yeah, when the Yankees are losing to them.
I thought it was an easy team to beat. Are they the easiest team to beat, or do you have to give them credit for beating them?
They're world beaters.
They're harder to beat than the Astros. And the Yankees have lost to him. The Red Sox didn't lose to him. The Yankees lost to him.
J.P. Sears out-dueled Carlos Rodon.
John Sterling Day, no less. No, that was over the weekend, right? That wasn't today.
And John Sterling saw the whole thing on his 83-inch TV. Thanks, Yankees.
Who's going to help me carry this?
Thanks, Costanza. That was a Costanza move. Just get him a TV. I don't know.
If I could have access to anyone's text, I'd love to have access to Sterling and Walbin's private off-air text.
I would like to not have access to that.
And then I want to just have bleach standing by just in case to pour directly into my eyes, but I want to know. I want to know. They worked 30 years together or whatever. Nothing ever happened there.
Come on.
Nothing.
Unrealistic.
Come on. Traveling on the road. She's down in the clubhouse. She's back
up. Late night at that hotel bar.
Exactly.
Yeah. Derek Jeter damn near killed her, Susan.
Come on. Anyway, that's Arcan's plane. Did you enjoy it? You can weigh in. 617-779-7937. We have Bet Roulette. Picks for tonight. Next.
That's weird, right? It's weird.
Yes.
I'm just embracing it.
Jones and Mego. No, you're right. It's weird.
From what I understand, they know what they're doing. That they have, it's not that difficult. I mean, because you know Caleb Williams is going one, and now it's just a process of elimination where you're just like, you know, I think that, you know, it might not completely be done because, you know, they just got done with 30 visits and, you know, now they put Penix on you brought him in as well. But, you know, they just had, you know, Daniels and McCarthy in recently. They had May in. So now, probably in the past couple days or in the next couple days, you know, they formally, you know, do it. But I think in terms of, do I think Elliot Wolf knows what he's going to do or what he wants to do at three? Yeah, I think he knows.
Yeah, I think he knows too. I think he knows he's going to do what the bosses want if he knows what's good for him so he can keep the job. That's my guess. Bedard says it's basically done. Reese and Curran in the last week have basically told you they're not trading the pick. Russini today said they're listening, which fine, maybe they're listening. But Jonathan is heavily involved. We also had a report from Burt Breer, who over the weekend said he thinks the Patriots are taking Drake May. If they do trade back, Penix would be a potential target. But he doesn't think they're trading back. He thinks they're staying, they're picking, and they're taking Drake May. So add that all up. That's what I'm guessing they're doing. I would also guess that the Bruins know what they're doing in net tonight. They have not announced. Razor said earlier today he thinks it's Ullmark. And we talked about that in the first hour. When we circled back and talked about this last hour, Arcand, I kind of forgot about Razor's intel there.
He said he was at Morning Skate, right?
He was at Morning Skate. Yeah, he said, I don't know anything, but I'm observing, and it looks to me like it's Ullmark, which I don't love.
Spiffy.
I don't love it.
I hate that. I hate that. I just, you know, like, it's just, it's so unnecessary.
So let's get in the trust tree. So if Ullmark's starting tonight, what are you rooting for, the Bruins or your take?
Bruins. I'd rather they win, even if my take's wrong. I'd rather they advance to the next round.
I'm rooting for my take.
I can't do another one and done with this team.
Okay, but like, no. But look, it's early enough in the series where Ullmark can get his brains beaten in. They go back to swimming, and they never look back again.
I guess that's a good point.
I'm rooting for my take.
Yeah.
If Ullmark starts tonight, I'm not rooting for the Bruins. I'm rooting for my take. Does that make me a bad person?
No, I'm considering
it. It's the best way to win.
Yeah. That's not what makes you a bad person.
Long term, it's the best way to win. I'm rooting for my take over the Bruins tonight if they go with Ullmark. If they go with Swayman, I'm rooting for Swayman. But I don't need to see Ullmark. I don't want to see Ullmark. I hope he loses. I don't want him on this team. He shouldn't be on this team. They tried to trade him. I hope he loses if he starts. And serve him right. Keith, I'm sure we'll have more on this. Right? No Red Sox tonight. Wide open
no
show.
No Red Sox, nothing.
Big
nothing
week.
Around here. It's NBA playoffs.
Big week for Keith.
Bruins.
Keith has a full show tonight. Full draft coverage on Thursday night.
Wow.
So mark that down. Hart, Fitzy, Scheim, Cadlick, they're all going to be part of the draft coverage wall to wall on
Sterling.
Thursday night, and a full program tonight.
Yeah, why not?
Who's with him? Fitzy? I would guess it's Fitzy tonight if I had to guess.
Sure.
You can dial him up 617-779-7937 or
well, you know, Fitzy.
Hang out on the lines. Meanwhile, let's get to some picks for tonight in Bet Roulette.
All right, I'm going to give you a choice. You can either have the money and the hammer, or you can walk out of here. You can't have both. You don't f*** around in this place. You got it?
Boo! Boo! That's it. Gambling.
Bet Roulette brought to you by Cars for Kids. Easy way to donate your car. You can donate today. Your car will be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS with a K. Arcand, I've rolled. That's two.
That's a two, and that is the over-under for the Leafs and the Bruins game two tonight. It's the same as the over-under in the first game, which is 5.5, and the juice is on the under, plus money on the under of 5.5. What do you say, Jones? It was 6 goals in the first game.
Pretty wide open game, but it was very one-sided, very lopsided to the Bruins. It barely went over. I will take the under tonight. And part of that is because I think, Arcand hit his shot. I don't know if you can see that on Twitch, but he did hit his shot. Part of that is because I think and hope Swayman starts tonight. I think he continues to shut Toronto down. I'll take the under on 5.5 goals. Arcand, that was, by the way, not just a make. That was all net. That was a swish.
That was very, very wet. All right, that is number three. That's Magic and the Cavaliers, like rain from the heavens.
No, I got it. It just, I understood. It just didn't quite sound right.
That's what people who know hoop, that's what hoop heads say when they're doing it.
Dry. Yeah.
No, if you know, no, it wasn't dry, Scales.
No, it's the opposite.
The opposite. If you know ball.
I got the Magic and the Cavs. The Magic, who struggled to crack 85 points, unable to crack 85 points in game one in Cleveland. I think that this is going to be another low-scoring game. The Magic are a good defensive team. So is Cleveland, but I think that they'll win by at least 6 points. So give me Cleveland here minus 5.5 in game two with Orlando.
Okay, Arcand bailing on the Magic.
Bailing on the Magic.
Just because they can't break 90.
Yeah.
He's bailing on the Magic
or
after
85,
one game.
for that matter.
So there you go. Cleveland 5.5. You want to roll for
here's
Ryan?
A roll for Ryan, and that is a 4. And the 4 is the Sixers and the Knicks. Game 2 of that series. As the Knicks lead the series 1 game to none, the Sixers are 5.5 point underdogs on the road, Ryan.
Give me Philadelphia to cover. Ooh. I don't think Jalen Brunson is going to perform well in this series. I think if Josh Hart had not gone off the way he did at the end of the fourth quarter, that game would have been much closer. And I think we have not seen the best from Tyrese Maxey. So give me Philadelphia to cover. Plus 5.5 on the road in game two. You slap those three bad Larrys together and you get plus 623.
All right. On all right.
Well, I don't hate it. Under goals.
We're so
that's
due,
where
by
that's
the way.
Where the juice is. But yeah.
Cleveland winning.
I don't
think
we've hit one of these since March.
Well, no. But, you know, some of us do better than others on our individual picks.
I don't know what that means.
Philadelphia, he's got covering. Are we sure Maxey's playing tonight? I saw he was questionable.
I got no
idea. Maybe he's got the same thing Mego's got.
The poops.
I heard questionable with an illness, but yeah, we don't know what that is.
He better play.
He's warming up. He's at the shoot around warming up.
Yeah, you better play. You got the
Joel Embiid is out there, then Tyrese Maxey should absolutely be out there.
He might yak balls like Mego did, but we'll see.
Man, this last hour.
Do not duck go that.
Sterling and that comment.
Do not duck go that on a work computer. So anyway,
Mego's right. She is the classy member of the show. It's definitely not us.
Who would really even dispute that? I don't know that I've ever disputed such a thing. That'll do it for us here on Jones and Arcan today.
It was very classy as she rushed into the bathroom to puke in the middle of the show. I thought
she did give us heads up she was going to do
very
it.
Graceful.
She did warn us she was going to do that.
Elegant.
Before leaving the studio. Unfortunately,
like
fortunately, it wasn't in a garbage basket here in the studio.
Yeah,
captured on Twitch.
That's great.
That's what I was rooting for. I was rooting for it to be captured on Twitch to live on in perpetuity.
I think Arcan would puke on air for the show. It's you true. Say that about it. I say a lot of things about the man that I feel pretty good about.
Give us some content, would you? Throw up on the show next time, Mego. We'll see if Mego's healthy for the program tomorrow. Stay tuned for Keefe and Fitzy. They got you covered right here on WEEI.
That's the pumpkin market.
The greatest gift
I don't know this song.
And the card inside would say, thank you for being a friend.
What's the Canadian alphabet?
A.
You guys are dorks.
It's the only vowel in Canada.
Sometimes A.
A, E, I, O, U, sometimes A.